This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, today we begin message 9 out of the series in Jeremiah, a message from Jeremiah 17, 1 through 8, called Children Remember. It's about an unpleasant subject of children actually remembering the idolatry of their parents. What would your children remember about you? This message was given on Father's Day, so it was very appropriate. Let's begin with part 1 today.
Since it is Father's Day, I want to share this with you, and I just threw this in, not knowing that it would be one of the most requested things I would use this morning, which tells me the Lord prompts you sometimes to use things in a message. It's from Ken Canfield, the author of 7 Habits of Effective Fathers. He writes this about your children. It's no accident that we have the children we have. Listen to that again. It's no accident that we have the children we have. The Bible says children are a gift or a heritage from the Lord, Psalm 127:3. In His sovereignty, that means that our particular children, though we give them a name, they belong to Him. They're gifts from the Lord. He did not give us the wrong children, nor did He give them to the wrong parents. That means that you are the only person whom He intends to father your children. Other men may stepfather your children. The schools may nurture your children. Your wife may mother your children. The government may foster your children. But only you can father your children. Only you can father your children. Somebody came here today just to hear that. You didn't know it, but that's the truth. You came here to hear that today. Are you able to discern sometimes what people are thinking by looking at them? Sure you are. You're married to somebody long enough and you say, okay, what's the deal? I know something's bothering you. What's up? I can tell just by the countenance on your face. You can read your children, friends, you can tell. But sometimes I think we can tell even a stranger has something to say. Annie and I were in Chicago, St. Charles, Illinois to be exact, for a wedding. And I went down early to the typical breakfast with the artificial cinnamon roll and the, you know what they give you at those breakfast things and the plastic spoon and the fork. And I'm just sitting there reading the paper, minding my own business and by myself. And a grandmother with an 8 or 9 year old girl sat down next to me at the table next to me. And I could tell immediately, for whatever reason, that this 8 year old girl had something she wanted to say. She just kept looking like she was just ready to explode something, but she didn't say a word. Her grandmother got up to go to the desk to take care of some business, and she blurted it out. My cousin's in the Miss Illinois beauty pageant, and I'm her princess. And I said, well, thank you for sharing that, whatever that means. But she wanted to tell me. She wanted to tell somebody. Today we're going to read in the Bible, in the book of Jeremiah, where Jeremiah describes God's people as being so full of sin in their disobedience to the Lord, so full of sin in terms of their idolatry, that the sin was written all over them. And he uses this expression, the sin was engraved like a stone on the tablets of their hearts. And it was evident that God's people were unfaithful to the Lord. And it's a message that speaks to fathers today and mothers because it's called Children Remember, because even Jeremiah says the children notice the idolatry of their parents. What a statement. The children notice the idolatry of their parents.
Well, I have a question for you. What do your children notice about you spiritually? I'm not talking about your looks, your talents, your abilities, your job. What do they notice about you spiritually? We'll continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. That's crosshope.org. Now then, today, part 2 of a message we began yesterday, the 9th message in our series from Jeremiah about children remembering the idolatry of their parents. I don't know about you, but it would disturb me if I thought my children remembered my idolatry. How about you? Let's talk about it as we continue with the text from Jeremiah 17 this morning.
Let's read it together as we go through this series. We're in Jeremiah 17 today, 17th chapter, beginning at verse 1. Just one note of explanation. The word Judah refers to what's called the southern kingdom. Israel's divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Judah's the southern kingdom. The capital is Jerusalem. That's the reference to the place called Judah. Judah's sin is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a flint point on the tablet of their hearts and on the horns of their altars. Even their children remember their altars and Asherah poles, which were things of idolatry. I'll talk about that in a minute. You know the answer to this question, and I don't know it for you. You don't know it for me. If you could capsulize or describe your life in three or four words, honestly and truthfully, what words would describe your life? What words would maybe describe your personality? What words would capture what you are in your essence, what you really are? And you know what? I have this theory that most people know what the three, four, or five words would be. And isn't it interesting that Jeremiah uses this analogy that their sin was so blatant, so in your face, so open. It's like taking an instrument to carve on a tombstone, like at a cemetery, and you carve out a person's name and their date of birth and their date of death. And Jeremiah says, that's what your sin is like. It's engraved on the tablets of your heart. What's engraved on the tablet of your heart in terms of what really matters to you? What's engraved on the tablet of your heart, the things that you value the most, the things that you say, this is the most important thing, and nobody knows but me. Nobody knows but me. Let's bring up verse 1 again. Judah's sin is engraved with an iron tool, inscribed with a flint point on the tablets of their hearts and on the horns of their altars. To have something engraved on your heart means it's permanent. To have something engraved on your heart means it's a part of your life. Have you ever described somebody and say, it's in his DNA, his interest in that sport? It's a part of his psyche to be interested in her hobby that she's in, and it's just a part of them. And Jeremiah says Judah's sin is so much a part of them, it's like an engraving on a stone. But here's the key verse, verse 2. Even their children remember their altars and Asherah poles beside the spreading trees and on the high hills. I said this probably 6-8 months ago, but children tend to walk in the fears of their parents. Don't raise your hand, but some of you know it's true with you. If you had a mom or dad who was always fearful about money issues, I'd be willing to bet you are too. You had a parent that was always worried about illness, always worried about disease. I have a gut feeling that you probably are too, to a certain extent. You had a parent that was afraid of social situations and afraid to be out in public. You probably walk in those fears too. We tend to walk in the fears of our parents. Not always, but I think there's a lot of truth to that. And secondly, we tend to walk in the faith or lack of faith of our parents.
Well, I don't know if this is resonating with you. My guess it is. It continues tomorrow on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org. One word, crosshope.org.
If you had a mom or dad who was always fearful about money issues, I'd be willing to bet you are too. You had a parent that was always worried about illness, always worried about disease. I have a gut feeling that you probably are too, to a certain extent. You had a parent that was afraid of social situations and afraid to be out in public. You probably walk in those fears too. We tend to walk in the fears of our parents. Not always, but I think there's a lot of truth to that. And secondly, we tend to walk in the faith or lack of faith of our parents. Exceptions always are. People, children tend to walk in their faith of their parents. My question is this, those of you that are parents, what are the faith memories that your children have? If memories, as I quoted earlier, are the stuff that life is made of, what kind of memories do your children have spiritually? Do they remember hearing God's word proclaimed? Do they remember being in things like that starts tomorrow, Vacation Bible School? Do they remember church camp? Do they remember youth activities? Do they remember Christmas Eve? Do they remember Easter services? Because that's part of their DNA. Spiritually speaking, it's a part of their life. And in the same way that Jeremiah says, even the children remember the idolatry of their mother and father, so it is, children remember what's going on in your life spiritually. Or they remember your idolatry and my idolatry. We have idols in this day, and children are discerning enough to know what their parents worship. I'm not going to reread them again, but verses 3 and 4 have to do with the cost of sin, what was going to be lost to the people. Sin always has a price tag, whether you recognize it or not. Some of you can testify to the fact that you're still paying the consequences, get this, of a forgiven sin. What do I mean by that? Sin that's forgiven, it's under the blood of Christ, you've confessed it, you've owned it, but you're still living with the consequences of what you set in motion. That's true for all of us. No one gets a free pass with sin, like, well, you're the exception. The rules apply to everybody else, but the Bible says you reap what you sow. That has a good implication, but it sure has a negative implication, depending on what you sow in life. And so we live with the consequences of what we set in motion. And then the key passage, I think, for every father and mother, verses 5 and 7. Let's bring up 5. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. This is strong language, and you may not like it, but here's what Jeremiah said. You're a person who trusts in man. He doesn't say trusting in the devil. He doesn't say you have to trust in Satan to be cursed. You just trust in man. You're cursed. And your heart will eventually turn away from the Lord. But bring up verse 7, if you will. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. And here's the choice. People get offended by this. We live in a multiple choice culture. Give me 5 or 6 choices, but don't tell me it's A or B. Don't tell me it's this or that, because that's offense. I want multiple choices, and today I'm offering you 2 choices. Cursed is the man who trusts in man. Cursed is the woman who trusts in man, what man can do, the system. And blessed is the man or woman who trusts in the Lord. And that's the choice that every father and every mother makes today. Well, I don't know if you remember this old definition I gave some time ago, that an idol is anything in your life or my life that takes the place of the living God. So when Jeremiah says children recognize the idols of their parents, it means they recognize that which takes the place of the living God. Our website is crosshope.org. I don't know how many of you knew this about the GPS system that's in your car, those of you that have a GPS system. It was originally developed by the military. And then it shifted to the car rental business, and I believe it was Hertz Car Rental was the first car rental company that offered GPS systems in their rental cars. They used to run an ad to push their cars, and here's what their ad said about the GPS, the global positioning system. The easiest way to ask for directions is to have this GPS system in your car that Hertz provides. The easiest way to ask for directions is to have that GPS system in your car. I think you know where I'm going. As a believer in Jesus Christ, we have a GPS system. You say it's the Bible, right? It is. But you have something more than the Bible. The Bible says that when you gave your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit of God took up residence in your life. It's not hocus pocus, that's reality. The Holy Spirit of God indwells the life of every believer. It's not just for special people, it's not for 10% of the Christian population. When you declare Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life, I got news for you. The Holy Spirit of God enters your life and lives in your life. That's why Paul would tell the church at Corinth, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? We're still sleeping around, messing around, and Paul says, don't you get it? Your body is the temple. It's not a building. It's you. And the Holy Spirit lives and abides in you. One of the most interesting funerals I've ever conducted was in Columbus, Ohio, years ago, where a funeral director called me, as every minister gets calls to do funerals for people that aren't a part of a church. In fact, that's more and more the case. So many people in our culture have no church connection whatsoever, yet they want a minister to do their funeral, which I find intriguing on the face of it. I don't have anything to do with the Lord for 60, 70 years, but somebody say something nice, please, at my funeral. Say something encouraging. I'm not being facetious. That's what I mean. That's what people want. I'll give you a case in point. Did a funeral for this man who had no church connection whatsoever. The family didn't have any church connection. And 5 minutes before the funeral starts, the deceased man's brother comes up to me and says, "Are you the guy doing the service?" "Yeah." "You're not one of these guys that's going to talk about God and Jesus and resurrection and hope, are you?" Like he was really disappointed if I said yes. I said, "Yeah, pretty much. That's what I do." And he was actually, you could just see his face fall. And I said, "Well, tell me, what do you want me to do at your brother's funeral? He's your brother. What do you want me to say?" And he said, "All I want you to do is tell people what a nice guy he was. Just tell people that he paid his taxes, he didn't beat his wife, he went to work every day, he was a veteran, he did this and that, he helped in the community. That's what I want you to tell people." And here's what I told him, right or wrong. I said, "You write down all those things for me right now, and I'll read it all." That's not where the hope is. The hope is not in having a list. The hope is not having your resume and saying, "Here's my list of references, and here's what I did with my life." Your only hope is in the cross and what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. That's my hope. That's your hope. It all boils down to a saving relationship with the God who made you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, someday someone will be conducting your funeral. Someone will be conducting my funeral. We don't know when that day is. But let me ask you this question. Is it going to be a case of a list and a list only? Or is it going to be a case of this man, this woman trusted in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and all their hope for life, death, and eternity is answered in him? Our website is crosshope.org. Barbara Curtis writes about her life. This is one of the most powerful pieces of writing. I think I've shared it before. She was in the New Age movement with her husband for a number of years. She said, "I spent my life in search of freedom through education, radical politics, alcohol, drugs, sexual promiscuity, and the New Age movement offered me a smorgasbord of choices. I was free to pick and choose and blend whatever fit my beliefs. I read voraciously, followed a guru, and attended every available New Age event. After the birth of our third child, in a last-ditch effort to save our marriage, we attended a Christian marriage retreat." She didn't go to it because it was Christian. She said her marriage was going down the tubes, and they attended this retreat because somebody said it might help your marriage. "At the first night session, we learned how God's plan for marriage differed from the world's. Because the family was God's building block, the leader said, Satan was out to destroy our marriage. That session convinced me that Satan was not a myth. I realized that my New Age beliefs had no explanations for the evil and the destruction I saw in my own life." Now, that's an important sentence. I want you to hear it again. "I realized that my New Age beliefs had no explanation for the evil and the destruction I saw in my own life. The next day, we learned that God loves us and wants us to have peace with him through Jesus Christ, his Son. But our sin has separated us from God." I never heard anyone say that before. "Jesus was more than a spiritual master. He was Lord. He was Lord. I prayed silently, confessing to God that I was a sinner. I asked Christ to become the Lord of my life, and I was weeping, and through my tears," she said, "I looked over at my husband and he was weeping too. We weren't sure what happened to us, but because Jesus Christ became the Lord of our lives, he kept leading us toward the light with a capital L. We became avid Bible readers, and in this manner, we realized that we had been born again. We found a church that taught God's word clearly, entered there as babies, not as highly evolved spiritual beings we always thought ourselves to be." What a statement. We entered that church as babies, not as highly evolved spiritual beings we always thought ourselves to be. Where am I going with this story? Simply this. Barbara Curtis and her husband discovered the choice. Cursed is the man or woman who trusts in man. Blessed is the man or woman who puts their confidence in the Lord. That's your choice. It really is. What's the message today? That you need to come to know the Lord. Cursed is the one who trusts in man. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord and puts their confidence in Him. Even the children remember the spiritual identity, the spiritual relationships, the spiritual activity of their parents. If that was true thousands of years ago, how much more true is it today? Children, remember what matters to you. Today, decide what matters is Christ. And what matters is eternity. And what matters is forgiveness. And what matters is healing through coming to know the Lord, where healing really takes place in your heart. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for opening up our hearts and our minds to Jeremiah 17. Lord, bless this decision time in this third service. If there are people who need to come today to make decisions regarding their relationship to you, would you bless them? Would you prompt hearts? Would you move people to make those decisions today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, what about you, my friend? If Jesus Christ is who He claimed to be, the only thing that matters in eternity is knowing Him. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.